So I said, well, honey, I said, I need to work up a sweat. Let's do a little bit of a workout. She says, what? She says, no, I want to go to Pastor Tom, have Pastor Tom do my work. I said, no, we don't need to do that. I can do it. I said, come on, let's go. Let's go right down the bottom of the hill here, and I'll put you through a workout. So big talking me, we went down there, and we went through a workout. I said, we're going to do four sets of this. And I laid it out. We did some squats and some lunges and some jumping jacks and get our heart rate up and walk. We did about five or six different exercises. And I'm telling you, the next day, I couldn't even move. Now, I'm just talking about just doing deep knee bends, the squats, right? Couldn't even move. Neither could Michelle. And today, I couldn't even hardly. It's been 5 days. What happens to the old body that breaks down like that? Uh-oh, I can preach there. Because if you're not exercising your faith, that's exactly what's happening to you spiritually. Uh-huh. To do those spiritual deep knee bends, yep, it hurts, baby. It hurts. And we find ourselves getting in such a comfort zone that we really don't want to get back out there and get our spiritual pulse rate back up. You know what I'm talking about? We don't want to do that. Man, oh, man, we got to, though, boys. We're in this thing for the long haul, and there are many that are counting on us because there aren't a whole lot of us that are awake. More and more every day are getting awake, and we're on a manhunt. We're trying to find them out there. But the reality of it is we got to get ourselves boned up and get ourselves in shape because we got us quite a haul ahead of us. I got to clear something up here real quickly today. People like that new hat. That's why I'm wearing the new hat again today, the red hat. And some of you have donated online. And I said, you know, anybody gives a donation, we'll send you a hat. And some of you have done that, but I got some confusion. Which hat? You got to tell me which hat. All right. So when you make that donation and you'd like to have, well, wait a minute, hang on. Which hat? You got to tell me. Now, look, this one is blue. All right. Blue hat, camo hat, red hat. Makes our life a lot easier here on our end if you do that. Tell us which one of those we would. You can just go to CoachDaveLive.com, send us a donation. We'd be glad to send you a hat. Now, hey, you better tell us the address, okay? Don't just say, hey, send me a hat. It doesn't work. We got to know where to send it. And then people like the Truth Sounds Like Hate shirt. Well, great. Tell us the size. Tell us the size. And if you don't tell us the size, I'm going to send you one of Lindell's hats. I'll let you wear that thing everywhere you go. And I know you don't want to do that. So praise the Lord. July, what did I say it was? July 6th, July 7th, time flying around us. The world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. Yeah, I wrote a commentary today. I want to go, first of all, before I do, I want to go to Psalm 1. So, Jared, you can be pulling that up as we work on it. I wrote a commentary today, I don't know if it was one of my best ones or not. I really don't know. But the point I was trying to make was good. And here's the title of the commentary. I'm going to get to that here in a second, too, is The Power of Apathy. The power of apathy. And I want you to think about that because I was thinking about it as I wrote it. That one of the most powerful things that we're facing, we're losing the battle in America because of apathy. Have you ever thought, stop to think what a powerful force that is for the enemy, apathy? I can remember back in my coaching days when when we had our really, really good teams and we'd get ahead. Late in the third quarter, we were ahead at halftime. They were way ahead. Late in the third quarter, some of the guys, we'd score a touchdown, and some of the guys would be coming running off the field, and they'd be yelling at their teammates around the field. They'd say, hey, guys, they quit. They quit. They're not even trying. They quit. You know, all the guys on the bench knew they were going to get in and play. That's why those guys would come out and tell us, hey, they quit. They quit. And one of the things that always continues to amaze me, every time I go to the streets, every time we take men and women to the streets, I always ask myself the same question. You ready? How are these guys winning? How are they winning this cultural war? How are they winning? Well, we know how they're winning. The power of apathy. We don't care. The average Christian that you run into, I get thinking about this whole 4th of July celebration. If I hear God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood one more time, I'm going to throw up. Why? Why should God bless America? The apathy in America about all things right. See, everybody loves to throw around that God word. God, God, God bless America. One nation under God, 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 God. But they don't want to get down to the specifics of which God. The Bible says, my house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. But it's his house. It's Christ's house. It's not just any house. And I look around and I see what's going on and I think, doesn't anybody care but me? Well, I know there are 15 of us here today that care, more than that are listening. The power of apathy. It's like that workout that Michelle and I did the other night. You know what, JR? I don't want to go down. I ought to go do one today. I got to go down there and do another one this morning. I know what that's going to feel like. Oh, my goodness. My legs are still sore. And to think I have to go down there and do it again? Well, you have to overcome the apathy. Do I want to have a big, big gut hanging over my belt or not? That's what it comes down to. Do I want my wife to be able to respect the fact that her husband can still climb up three steps without having to catch his breath? It's all about apathy. And apathy is destroying America. Apathy is. Or, as I wrote in the commentary, I don't know if I'm going to take the time to read it today. I sent it to a lot of you. As I wrote in the commentary, why is it that Americans care so little about what matters most? What is up with us? Hey, JR, what is that? What is it that makes us care so little about what matters the most? You have any idea on that? Anybody have an idea on that? The power of apathy? We're losing simply because we don't care. Oh, we say we care. We don't really care.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah.
Well, my pastor has a tendency to say we cannot change anything. So it's a discouragement. Instead of going and talking to people about Christ, he gives the impression that only goes so far. So Jeff,
when Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and earth, go ye therefore, he was lying, huh?
He said it recently, this past, yeah.
We can't change anything. And why do they say we can't change anything? Because of this crazy theology that, well, listen, I live every day expecting the imminent return of Jesus. It's imminent. What does imminent mean? Imminent. Jared, see if you can pull that up. Imminent. I-M-M-E-N-T. Imminent. Imminent. Remember the Lord said, behold, I come quickly. Does quickly mean soon? Have you ever watched anybody in a basketball game say, man, that dude's quick. Man, he plays quickly. Quickly. Behold, I come quickly. Does that mean like right now? I'm coming right now. Behold, I come quickly. No, it has to do with the speed of which it happens, not the time frame in which it happens. Did you find imminent there, Jared? I don't know. The imminent return of Jesus. I hear that all the time.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, George.
Coach, you know, to me, it's the prosperity that has led our nation to a decline. It, all this opulence, which is a good thing if it's used right, but like most nations, it's turned into a bad thing. But the challenge in our nation, it's a false sense of prosperity. It's really a prosperity that's built on quicksand.
And George, it's a spiritual poverty. It's a spiritual poverty. I said to my wife last night, I played in my Pirate League golf league last night. I think I told you guys all about that. I came home and I said to Michelle, they're all lost. Every one of them are lost. Of the 60 guys, whatever, out there, they're lost. How can we live in the most gospel-free country in the world and so many people be so lost? And there's a variety of reasons why, but we have to understand that most of it focuses around the fact that we just don't give a daggone. We just don't care. We really don't. We don't care. Michelle said, well, why don't you just jump up on your golf cart and start preaching at him? And I thought, why don't I? Why don't I? You know why I don't?
He won't listen.
Well, that's what I tell myself, but it's not it's not my job, whether they're listening or not. My job is to, how can they hear without a preacher? It's my job to preach. Why don't I? You know why I don't? Because JR, deep down inside, I really don't care. I really don't care. I had a guy come wandering up to me afterwards. It's just interesting the way the world operates. You guys can relate to this. Jared's still got imminent up there. had a my I was talking to a guy last night who was telling me about a mutual friend who's just absolutely just a meaningless, totally lost drunk. 50 some years old, lost his family, he's lost everything, doesn't have a job, almost homeless. From a good solid family. My brothers tell me about this. And then he find this guy finally moved. Now he's in an apartment. He won't work. And I'm coming home from the golf course last night and I stopped to get gas. And who comes walking out of the door carrying a 12 pack and two packs of cigarettes? But the guy that we were just talking about. And my brother's riding beside me in the car. And he walks, this guy walks up and he leans in the car and he starts, he looks across at me and he's already drunk. And he's got another 12 pack and he's, he said, I just living the life, just living a life, trying to get my life back together. And he said, I got me an apartment now, and I got me a job, and just living the life, doing the best I can. And, you know, something came up inside of me, and I want to confess this. It wasn't compassion. And I was ashamed of myself. Because I should have reached over and grabbed him by the shirt and pulled his head into the car and told him flat out that he needed Jesus. Why didn't I do that? And how many opportunities do we have that every day? And you got to ask yourself, does it really matter to us? Does it really matter that this guy's, if he were to die tomorrow, he ain't going to be with Christ. And if this guy were to die, he ain't going to be with Christ. Has my heart become so hardened? Have I become so, who gives a damn attitude about it that, you know, we have to really check ourselves because it's easy for us to fall into that pattern and I don't ever want to fall into that pattern. But JR, you said it. It's kind of a conditioning we get. The gospel that they have been fed is no gospel at all. And they don't want to hear it. I know four guys in that golf league, could be more, who personally have come to me over the last couple of years I've been playing in it and told me, hey, coach, I want you to know I got saved the other night. Four guys. And here we are a year later, and you know what? They ain't saved. They ain't saved, and they weren't saved that night. They made an emotional decision, an emotional choice. They walked an aisle. They said a prayer, but their life's just as big a mess as it ever was. In fact, it's bigger because now they think they're safe. And why am I not a stronger, more powerful evangelist to them? Why am I not? Why am I not casting my bread upon the water for them? Why don't I do that? It's apathy. So when I talk about people being apathetic, I'm not pointing my finger at y'all. I'm pointing to me too. Everywhere around us, every day, there's opportunities. And to tell you the truth, sometimes I just say, it ain't worth it to me. God help us that we would ever really get to that point. Because I don't know about you out there, Ray. I know you, Ray. I know this. I'm talking to Ray's heart right now. The power of a redeemed life. When you were lost, when you were lost and you get really found, that joy that comes inside your heart is something that is like no narcotic that you ever had. And why do we want to see more people experience that? It's a cavalier attitude. It's the callousness. It's the apathy. It's the not getting down in the dirt and grime and ditch where these people are stuck. I'm preaching to myself today because you know me, I can be as harsh as anybody. And the truth is that guy stuck his head in the window last night. He did it to himself. He did it to himself. His life's a mess because he won't quit drinking the daggone Budweiser. He did it to himself. Should I stop saying that? Should I continue to raised in a Christian home? I don't know, guys. I'm just kind of out there today because we're so apathetic. We care so little in America about the things that matter the most. I hear somebody trying to jump in here. Come on in.
All right, Coach Chad here. Hey, I was just thinking, you know, I can myself. I've had those same incidents where I walk in there and there's a little saying that says, just tell them Jesus loves you. And then I say, why? Mm. Why? I'm tired. Sometimes, you know, I just get tired of hearing no or have people laugh at you. You know, you just get fatigued with it. And that's why it's important to be in the huddle and get re-encouraged. And we're all human. Mm-hmm. We're all human. So that's what
we're all facing the same challenges, right. Aren't we?
That's right. Right.
Hey, Chad, I'm wondering as a cop, how many times do you pull somebody over and walk up, stick your head, and right away it hits you, man, these people just need to hear the gospel. That has to happen to you all the time. See, I don't want to write them a ticket. I don't want to write them a ticket. I want to get them saved.
Yeah. What do you got to do to reach them?
What do you got to do to reach them? What is it? Sometimes you got to lay in the muck and the mire, and as somebody told me a long time ago, they got to sit in their own poop. I understand that, but at what point does that spirit of compassion move on us? And the last thing I ever want anybody to think who's watching this show is that I don't have compassion, because I do. I do. I couldn't hardly sleep last night thinking I should just snatched him by the shirt and pulled him right in and just told him the way it was. Because you know what? I could see in his eyes. What a mess. Who wants to live like that? And I understand the demonic impact. I understand all that stuff that we talk about. I understand that all. I understand it all. And it's playing out right before us. But we don't get it. I got to get to the imminent, because Jared took the time to get it up there. People talk about the imminent return of Jesus. Or as I said, imminent means ready to take place. Imminent. Hanging threateningly over one's head. Someone was in imminent danger. Imminent danger mean he was in a position that danger could come. It was imminent. If he didn't change, it was imminent. When people say, well, the return of Christ is imminent, well, it is. It's always poised for return. Guys, listen to me. In the deepest parts of Africa, in the deepest parts of China, where they have to smuggle Bibles in, do you think they're sitting around studying end-time prophecy? Do you think they're sitting? See, we are so smart and so advanced, and we have so much knowledge. In fact, the Bible says the knowledge will increase. I'm smarter and smarter and smarter every day and seem to do less and less with it. Less and less with what I have. It's because I'm so apathetic about what I look around and I see. We are all apathetic. And to think how starved some of those people are in China who get the gospel for the first time and cling to it with everything they have. And what are we over here arguing about over here? We're arguing about financial blessings and the rapture and the imminent return. And we don't even believe that stuff.
Yeah, all our stuff.
Our stuff. It possesses us whether we realize it or not. It dominates our entire life. What are the headaches that you have? The headaches that you have in your life are about stuff. Most part, car broke down, air conditioning is broken, something, phone's not working. It's always stuff that brings all this into it, and we still don't get it. Imminent means positioned. At any time, it could come. The imminent return of Jesus could come at any time. It could. But we don't know what that's even going to look like. And no matter how much we talk about it and say that the imminent return of Jesus is, it's coming, boys, Jesus is coming, we don't really believe it because we don't even tell anybody. Why don't we tell them? Because we're apathetic. Jared, pull up quickly. 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 Behold, I come quickly. Because for 2,000 years, they've been thinking Jesus was coming. Quick. What's it say? Behold, I come quickly. Not dead, the first one that comes up. I like D. I look down, inclined to hastiness. Quick. Capable of being easily and speedily prepared. A quick and tasty dinner. That's not the one I'm working for. Behold, I come quickly means come in. There it is. Two. A. Fast in understanding, thinking, and learning. Mentally agile. Quick. Reacting to stimuli with speed and keen sensitivity. Aroused immediately and intensely. Quick tempers. Fast in development or occurrence. So when Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, it didn't mean soon. Soon. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. How long have they been singing that song? And today in the modern Christian, see, there's a great cognitive dissonance. between what we say and what we actually believe. There's a great divide there. The stuff that we as believers say we believe, but we don't act upon it. Crazy. We say that Jesus wants everybody saved, but yet we never go share the gospel. Right? We say that healing is the children's bread. You ever go lay hands on people and pray for them? There's a great disconnect. What is this great disconnect? The scripture says he who wins souls is wise. We go try to win souls. The average Christian you've been taught in your church that you got to win souls? No, we're taught that that's what we're supposed to do. Do you ever actually go do it? No. Why? We're apathetic. We don't believe what we say we believe. If we believe that Jesus was about to return, if like I'm watching right now, we're supposed to be worried about North Korea. Chance that North Korea could bomb the West Coast. Are you kidding me? If North Korea dropped a nuclear bomb on the West Coast, there'd be a lot of people die. And they're talking about that right now. And what's the reaction? Is there any reaction in California? Anybody getting prepared? Anybody doing anything? It's just, oh, well, yeah, that might happen. Wow. Tornado coming? Yeah, okay. Yeah, it might come. Where is it? I'll watch the radar. See, where is it? I don't know how I got on what I'm on, but I think it's kind of good. You know, it takes an introspection of all of us. We are all the power of apathy. I saw somebody the other day as a new girlfriend. And one of my friends commented to me and said, you know, I don't know if he's really in love or not. I said, why? I said, well, remember what it was like when you fell in love? Remember how that's all you could think about? And you just wanted to be around them and you wanted to hold their hand and wanted to whisper. So I don't know if he's in love or not. You in love with the Lord or not? Are you really? Or do you love the Lord because he loves you? And you and he have that in common. You both love you. Because you both love you so much, it tends to be apathetic and you don't really care about others. You really don't. And I think I'm probably me I'm talking about now. I'm going to stand before the Lord someday and my life's going to play before me and I'm going to look at it and I'm going to see how much time I wasted. Okay, that's my crying in my beer for today. I don't have a beer here. Behold, I come quickly. Anybody? Nobody? All right.
Oh, I just want to say that, you know, stuff. The only time that we as Americans, especially, now I've lived in Sweden and I've lived in Vietnam for a couple of years, and I've had an opportunity to see other societies other than our U.S. American society. And stuff is the center of our society. And the only time stuff doesn't occupy the highest level of our thinking is when our physical bodies are attacked and our very health and our very existence
great
is
point.
In jeopardy.
That's a great point. And
that's when we don't care about stuff anymore.
That's right.
And we're told so many times in the Bible that we're not to live this worldly, physical thing. We're to be in a spiritual attitude, to have the mind of Christ. His mind wasn't what could he do. His mind was how could he obey the Father.
So, Larry, I was thinking today, you know, I don't know if you guys saw this, that Congressman Steve Scalise was put back in intensive care today. And, Larry, you suppose he's in intensive care worrying about his car, whether somebody's cleaning his swimming pool, whether or not he has a luncheon conference with some lobbyist? I bet he's not. But he's not. And so our minds have a tendency to get preoccupied by stuff that really doesn't matter. Hey, Jared, Google, you got it right up there. Heathen, Jared. H-E-A-T-H-E-N. Heathen. Saw a bunch of heathens last night. Oh, my God. Anybody with me? The heathen are everywhere. They are everywhere. That was it's amazing.
It's immeasurable how many heathens are out there.
They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And see, it's not that the Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. It doesn't even come down to whether or not I'm making a value judgment by them. I just look at it and say, my goodness, those what heathens. They're every, what's a heathen? It says, look at this. Wow. I don't know about you guys. I ought to sit around and read a dictionary. I love words. Words bring meaning to everything, don't they? Heathen, of or relating to people or nations that do not acknowledge the God of the Bible. Are you kidding me? As simple as it could be, that's what a heathen is. Someone that does not acknowledge the God of the Bible. Of or relating to their religions or their customs. Pagan are heathen rituals. Wide, narrow, many, and few. Hey, boys and girls, I don't want to shock you. A lot more heathen than there are saints. As I put in the commentary today, or somebody gave us on the show the other day, that's why there's a highway to hell and a stairway to heaven. Probably an escalator, slow-moving escalator to heaven. But there's a highway to hell, and people are barreling full speed. Most people around us. Would you guys disagree with that? Most people I come in contact with are heathens. Let's think about that word now. What's a heathen? Of or relating to people who do not acknowledge the God of the Bible. Yeah, most of them. Now, they may acknowledge him. They may know he's there, but that's about the extent that it goes to. It's like knowing McDonald's is there if you're hungry. But you don't go there. Wendy's is just down the street. If you need his frosty, but you don't go there. That's acknowledging it. They acknowledge God, maybe. As far as a relationship, understanding of the gospel. Great question I put in the commentary. I'm going to ask it again. Why is it we care so little about what matters most?
We've been programmed to do that.
We have. That's the reason why we do this show. It's the reason I do this show, because it's a constant reprogramming. You know, I got a call yesterday from a gentleman. It was really, I didn't ask his name. I did ask his name, but I didn't ask if I should share it. I just want to share this with you. I got a call from some guy from, I think it was South Carolina, Larry, I'm not sure. He was on the road, actually. He listens to the show every day. I don't think I've ever met him. And he called me yesterday, and he'd written down four things, questions that he had from listening to the show. And it was amazing how, just in a matter of conversation, of bringing out the truth, that a light went on in his head. And he said, this first question was this, really. God loves everybody. We're all God's children. And so then I just took him to the scriptures. And I said, well, okay. We're all God's children. Then why did he say that you are of your father, the devil? And the works of your father you will do. Does the devil have children? Took him through the whole thing. And that's what I pray is happening as we watch this show. Guys, listen, I'm not always right. I'm asking the questions. I'm trying to pop off the top of the box that you're stuck in, to open your eyes and see and understand. To understand that Jesus Christ, when he left us, he said, all power, both in heaven and in the earth, is given unto me. And how many times do you run into somebody who tells you that the devil's in control? Well, this is the devil's just in control here. Well, it won't be like this till Jesus returns. Until then, the devil's in control. Well, that sounds good, but where is that? Jesus said, can I put this together for you a second? 1 John 3, verse 8. Jared, I know we're going to go to Psalms here in a second. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Let's go there real quickly. Wow, just stay with me here, okay? Let's start with 3:1, Jared. I'm sorry, I said 8, but let's start with 3:1. 1 John, John's letter. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Larry, I thought of you right away. Folks, just read the word and hear what it says. Will you? Will you hear this? What does it say? Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Who's us? That we should be called the sons of God. Those who've come to Jesus. Now watch a separation in the next stanza. Therefore, the world doesn't know us, because it doesn't know him. So right there in 1 John 3, it says there are those the Lord knows and those the Lord doesn't know. Yes or no? Yes, that's what it says. How can you be a child of God if he doesn't know you? Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. He says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. We are. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Who does? Every man? All these people out here? All these heathen? No, every man that has this hope in him. So, Larry, evidently not every man has that hope in him. Evidently. Because he's talking about a specific group of people here. And so then he goes on farther and says, that, so whosoever committed sin breaks the law. For sin is the breaking of the law. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins. In him there is no sin. Stop a minute. What are the heathen doing? They're full of sin. That's how you identify them, I think. So whosoever abides in him doesn't sin. Wait a minute. Well, if you don't abide in him, well, you must sin. Right? And whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Boy, that would preach right there. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteous is righteousness is righteous. You judge them by their fruit. You say, Coach, who are you to be judging people? Well, I'm those who do righteous. And how do I know those who do righteous? That's it, simple right there. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doesn't do righteous isn't righteous. I'm just reversing it. Then look at verse 8. He that committed sin is of the devil. I don't even know what to say. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. And here it is. And for this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And what did Jesus say when he hung on the cross? It is finished. What was finished? He destroyed the work of the devil. Where? In you. And then your job as an ambassador for Christ, my job as an ambassador for Christ, is not to legalize sin, not to give people the right to choose, not to give people individual liberty. My job is to what? Also to destroy the works of the devil. And the lie that you can't legislate morality, what a lie that is. What a lie that is. Because there was a time when we did legislate morality. And people say, well, Coach, you can't make laws make people behave. Well, no, you can't. But you can make laws that you can punish people when they don't behave. As I said yesterday, what if the church stood up back in the good old Ronald Reagan days and said no to no-fault divorce? No. No. Would America be a better place today if we didn't kill our babies? I think it would be. Would America be a better place today if men didn't have the right to marry men? Yeah. Yeah, I believe so. I believe it would be a better place. I believe that sin is destructive, that all sin is destructive. And so you see Tommy and Billy, two homos, you get married. And you say, oh, isn't that happy? Isn't that good? Again, controlled by our emotions. Aren't they just so, they just love each other so long? Yeah, but look at Look at the families, how the families are destroyed, the moms and the dads and the aunts and the uncles and the cousins. We're not okay with that behavior. And we said, it's okay, right? No. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. Those guys will be delivered out of that sin. But we don't care enough. We're too apathetic. We don't care. We don't see the destructive nature of sin. JR, I don't know if you saw this. I say to JR because of local people. I saw that we talked about the TV weatherman here in Columbus, Ohio, who has leukemia and very public fighting leukemia and also very publicly open homosexual, married homosexual with two children. Nobody wants to see anybody die. Nobody wants to see anybody sick. But the leukemia he has, if I have done my research right, is a offshoot sister of AIDS. It's AIDS, the type of leukemia he has. Well, would he be better off today if somebody told him not to act like that? Not to act on those heathen impulses? But you see, in our society, in our today, in our culture today, we say to him, listen, you can have heathen behaviors and be a Christian. Hey, Jeff, George, how many things can you find in the Bible that God called an abomination? Not a whole lot. A few things, but not a whole lot. In the church, because in our real apathy and our real emotionalism towards those who are trapped in sin, won't speak the truth and have welcomed what God said is an abomination. So we're supposed to be the antidote. We're supposed to be the salt. Amen. Are you kidding me? Is old John Brockhoff, are you in here today, John? That's the first time I've seen you. Can you get yourself unmuted and jump in here and say hi to everybody, John? He's going to text me here in a minute and say, Coach, my microphone doesn't work. That's probably what he's going to tell me. For this purpose was the Son of Man manifest. He'd destroy the works of the devil. Man, it's 7:40 already and haven't gotten anything. Anybody got a comment? Because I'm still heading to Psalms here in a minute.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, sir.
This is David Hawkins from Louisville.
From where, David?
Louisville, Texas.
Oh, David. Oh, my goodness. Dude, this old Dave, Pastor David is, I met him a couple years ago down at First Hear the Watchman conference. Former pastor.
Yep.
Man of God.
Yep.
Jump in here, Dave. Sorry, I didn't recognize your name.
Well, brother. That's okay. You know, I just been thinking about, you know, the church and saw this a long time ago, but, you know, the church has got so apathetic. They become like, when he went home to his own town, he couldn't do anything there because of their unbelief.
Well, that's true.
So that's what's happened to the nation. We just become a nation of unbelievers and not stood on the fact that Jesus Christ is who he is, who he says he is, and he says what he, you know, he will do what he says he does, but we won't allow him to because we've just become apathetic. He's just right. A carpenter's kid. Brothers and sisters, our next door neighbors, so on and so forth, but hey, you know, he can't do anything because we just don't believe in him.
You know, David, the truth of the matter is, are you ready, folks? You better sit down. I'm going to hit you right between the eyes now. The truth of the matter is, most Christians have the same opinion of Jesus as the Muslims did. He was just a wise man, a wise prophet, and they honor him. That's really where most Christians are. We don't believe him. We don't believe his laws are immutable. We don't believe his word is unchanging. We do not believe it, folks. We don't believe it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry.
I hate to do this. I don't enjoy it, but I'm going to have to do it.
All right,
not a single Christian thinks that Jesus is just a good prophet. Those people who think Jesus is just a good prophet think they're Christians, but they're not.
I'm with you, man. I'm with you. And you know what's really bad? We can't tell the difference. We can't tell the difference between who is and who isn't. Because what do they tell? Well, you can't judge a man's heart. Well, I know I can't. I know I can't judge his heart. But boy, I can sure inspect some fruit. And I can say this. Hey, guys, ready for this? I'm going to say it safely now. Barack Obama is not a Christian, okay? Barack Obama ain't a Christian. And how in the world? Never was. And, hey, you know what, Vince? How many pastors across America do you suppose stood up in the pulpit and said, sorry, this man is not a Christian? You suppose many did that?
Not a single bloody one.
No, no. Because they were really, truly.
Maybe Pastor Manning. That was about it.
Maybe Pastor Manning. Because they were apathetic, right? See, we don't understand. We don't see and understand the depth and the power of sin. The depth and the power of an unchallenged lie. We don't understand it. And I was saying to a group of people the other day, I can't remember who I was talking to. I'm not trying to be backdoorish about it. I said, listen, remember the old saying, question authority? Remember that mantra? Remember that when we're in the 60s and 70s, question authority? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Christian man, you had better stop letting lies go by unchallenged. I don't care what group of people that you're in. If you know somebody just said something that's not true, you better call them on it. Because if you don't, everybody else in that room is going to walk away believing the exact same thing. If nobody challenges it. And most cowardly men, what we do when the meeting's over, we walk outside. They say, I was going to tell him. I should have told him. No. Stand your butt up right there and tell him. Okay, Jared. Boy, oh boy. It is amazing how the Lord does. I still want to come to the heathen rage, Jared. But I got something I want you guys to show. We're not going to watch all of this. This kind of stuff makes me feel about this big. All right? Jared, on the stuff I sent you today, where did I find it? Jared, click on Hispanic preacher. Hispanic preacher. Hey, guys, I want you to watch this. This guy shows up at his local school board. He's Hispanic. I don't know where it is, California, maybe whatever, they're trying to pass some. One of those other crazy things. The heathen are raging. The heathen are constantly trying to pad their flesh, scratch their flesh, always trying to change the rules so that their sin is now acceptable. All are. And I came across this guy, trying to find you, Jared. I know you got it up. I know I sent it to you. And this guy looks to me to be a street preacher. And I was grieved that I haven't done this. Look at this guy. It says Christians demand Bible schools at town hall meeting. Look at this guy here. Are you ready? 4 minutes. Give it to him, Jared. Look at that shirt. God hates hands that shed innocent blood.
Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is King.
Amen.
Since we're here to talk about the Bible and the Bible belongs to God, let's see what God has to say about this issue, this subject. Let me turn this around. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Amen.
Proverbs 1:7 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So here I am asking you one question. Is that what you want for this generation, a generation of fools? We already have so much confusion in America where boys are trying to go into the girls' bathroom and girls are trying to go into the boys' bathroom. They don't know the difference between a female and a male. Is that what you want? You want to bring more confusion to this generation because you do not allow them the right to read this book, to read this book. They don't know what to do. They're trying to be boys, trying to be girls, and girls are trying to be boys. Let me tell you what Abraham Lincoln said about this book. September 7, 1864, he says, in regards to the book, to this great book, I have but to say that is the best God, the best gift God has given to men. That was Abraham Lincoln.
That's right.
George Washington says, It is impossible to rightly govern a nation without God and the Bible.
Amen.
President Roosevelt says this, the knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education, and you try to steal that education from the kids of Mercer County, West Virginia. The money, in the money we still have the says, in God we trust. It is money the reason why you're taking the Bible out of school? Is that why you're afraid that you're going to lose your job? Is this really the land of the free, the home of the brave, and the land of the free? If this is the home of the brave, why don't you go down in history as the brave men and women of Mercer County, yes, West Virginia, that, yes, allow the Bible to be read, to be taught in the public schools of West Virginia?
Yes!
Because this program has already been banned from other schools in America. Why? Because the Bible said that if you know the truth will set you free.
Yes.
If this is just a fairy tale, why don't you let kids read it? But you know that this book is not a fairy tale. This book has power for salvation.
Right. Hallelujah.
One more thing. The Bible says, blessed is the nation that the Lord is thy God.
Ooh,
hell is the place of the wicked, and all nations that forget about God, they're going to end up in hell. It is the duty of all men to fear God and keep his commandments.
Hallelujah.
We need more instruction from God. We need more correction from the God Almighty. Right now, you're in front of the people of Mercer County, West Virginia. For one day, the Bible says, everyone must die once, and after that, be judged by God. You're going to have to explain, God, why you took away the privilege and the right to those kids to learn about his God, about his book, about his salvation. You better have a good excuse when you're in front of a righteous God. Ms. Deborah Akers, if you're a Christian, stand for the truth. Stand for the Bible. Even if it costs you your job, if God is with you, who can be against you?
Hallelujah.
Wow. Hey, listen, if the Bible is just a fairy tale, why won't you let it be taught in our schools? What a line. What if our pastors were talking like that? What if our pastors were standing up? Why are we letting the heathen rage? Which is what I was trying to say, even though I never got to Psalm number one. Glenn, you're on the air. How are you doing today?
Hey, good, Coach. What you're saying about apathy is so true. We have an evangelistic program at the church that I go to. It's called Take Jesus to the Street. We go once a month. Big deal, right? Once a month. Well, we go once a month. We go into neighborhoods. We knock on doors. We take a survey. A survey talks about the issues of today and then leads to scriptural verses and then leads to asking people if they, you know, if this is, you know, the desire of their heart, okay, to accept Christ. And what the Bible says about the harvest being ripe is so true. But do you think that you can get people to go out, even though we have a person that trains people on how to do it? We're lucky if we get 6 people a month to show up. Usually, maybe 4 at most.
Why do you
it's advertised. it's promoted in the church and it's advertised, and yet nobody comes. Nobody has enough desire to. They don't want to share. They out of fear or just apathy, they don't show up.
You know, Judd, Glenn, I had somebody tell me that the opposite of love is not hate. The opposite of love is apathy. They just don't care.
That's what it is. Exactly. And we're talking about people that have been saved. These are people that have been saved. These are Christians.
Mm.
They don't care enough. Somebody cared about them to tell them about it. Right.
Yeah, but
they don't care enough to tell somebody else.
That's right. That's right. God bless you, Glenn. That's so true, man.
Thanks, guys.
Amen. Amen. Somebody jump in here.
Yeah, I got something to say again here at the end of the show.
This is Bobby again. All right, Bobby, you fired this up yesterday, man. Give it to us.
Listen, about apathy and the destruction of the family. Listen, also who's raising these kids and families? Private and state agencies. But this is how dangerous this is, all right? These children and youth agencies, these are usually inexperienced, low-level people coming in, oftentimes fresh out of college, and they pretty much have their way. That said, earlier this year, a children and youth worker, a former children and youth worker that was actually in charge of some of the foster care, her and her boyfriend had foster care and a kid and literally tortured and raped and dismembered that kid. And that was found out earlier this year. That is a former state worker. Now, as far as apathy is connected, you hear nothing about that anymore. You know, that made news for X amount of days periodically, and then it's quietly hushed under the rug. And considering I'm in this, quote, human service world, nobody knows anything about it. That's apathy. We do not care. We do not care that the very people that's in charge of the so-called protection of these kids just dismembered one of them.
Hmm. Well, not only that, Bobby, we don't care about anything. We don't care that drugs are available to people. We don't care. We don't care about any of it, Bobby. We don't care about any of it. And the only thing that will be is the answer is the gospel. And those of us who claim to be Christians, we won't even take that to them. We won't even give them that anecdote.
Right.
Let me explain something to you, Coach.
I'm listening.
When I went to talk to the superintendent of schools, and I talked to the principal of the high school that's persecuting me, they say we have to follow the law, the federal law, the state law, the county law, and whatever you say, it doesn't make a difference. We have to follow the government.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's hard to compete against. We have the Word of God. It is supposed to be we the people.
Yeah.
Down the line from Obama's administration and all successors through the Department of Education has allowed so forth.
Jeff, do you suppose that Hispanic guy, do you think he was applauded by the churches? Do you suppose the pastors were talking about him and his bravery, or were they disgusted by his outburst of whatever? Jared, let's go two things, Jared, real quickly. We only got 7 minutes left here. Hey, jump in here, guys. It's your show as well. Apathy, Jared. I Googled apathy. I Googled it because we throw that word around. And if really we would be honest, we're all here. This is where we all are. We're all stuck in apathy. What's it? Did you find? There it is. What is it? Apathy is a lack of feeling or emotion, a lack of interest or concern, indifference. Drug abuse leading to apathy and depression. Apathy is a powerful, powerful force. Jared, go to Psalm 2. I think I said Psalm 1. Let's go to Psalm 2. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Hey, guys, that's a question. This isn't a statement. The psalmist David's asking us, hey, guys, why are they acting like that? Why are the heathen raging? And why are the people imagining such empty things, a vain thing? Vain means empty, without any purpose, without any direction. See, you could turn the question around. The people are without direction because they're heathens. The two are interconnected. And David says, look at this mess. Why are the heathen raging and the people imagining a vain thing? Why? Well, we know heathens are those who deny the God of the Bible, so therefore they're trying to create some type of utopia on earth. And then the kings of the earth set themselves up, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They want no restraints. And he that sits in the heavens laughing. The Lord's laughing at him. And if he's laughing at them, why are we so timid and apathetic? He ain't even getting up off of his chair. He's laughing. And our kids are being forced to live under this vain thing, this heathen culture and society. We see a father walk into a West Virginia school district and share the truth of the word, and we think he's crazy. Apathetic. Just got 3 or 4 minutes. Jump in here. Help us wind. Help wind down here.
Coach, apathy is easy.
It requires easy. Nothing, JR. Apathy requires nothing of you.
I'll tell you what's crazy. I don't know if you ever heard the story of the Butcher of Brooklyn, a guy by the name of Levi Aaron.
He
raped, killed, and ate a boy by the name, an 8-year-old boy by the name of Libby Klutsky. This is in 2011.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what else do you tell people to get them outraged about all the pedophilia, pederasty, and all the other crap going on?
It's not personal enough.
It's not personal enough, Chad. You're right. It's not personal enough. Hey, listen, let me throw this venture on top of it. Chad, you're on top of it. Let me throw this right up there for you. Just as we end this show, we don't care, folks. We don't care. Hey, Jared, pull up the link there, Jared. Is it the top one? No. The one, the Vatican. Jared, pull that one up there. We don't care. We don't care. Hey, we don't care. Somebody else's problem. Look at this. Look at this. What's the date on this thing? 5th of July. Vatican police break up gay orgy at home of one of Pope Francis's advisors.
Yeah, now, he was actually the sexual counselor for the Vatican.
Yeah.
Actually, that guy.
Now, as Sarge said before we went on the queue, there's another one. There's another one who was just recently arrested. Another one who was just recently arrested. Hey, Vince.
Yeah, Cardinal.
Anybody give a crap? Does anybody care?
I do.
Huh? I care. Yeah. Yeah, we all do. We do. The apathy is unbelievable. Think of that little boy that was raped, those little kids that were molested inside the church.
Someplace they thought they would be absolutely safe.
That's right. Just like in the mommy's womb, huh? Just like in the one. Oh, well. Hey, Chad. Oh, well. Then. You got nothing to do with me. Doesn't matter. Who am I to judge? Hey, what's the hell? You know, what the heck? I don't want to get involved with it. No. God help us, man. God help us. This is where we are. This is what is surrounding us, and we don't get it. We aren't moved by it. And part of it, I think, is probably just been so much of it. The heathen are raging so much in our side. Is so apathetic. And so, see, the worst thing it is somebody always thinks somebody else is going to do it. And that old saying is, if it's going to be, it's up to me. I'll tell this story and then we'll end up here today. When I was coaching, I think I've told it before, but it's appropriate time. You always have that critical moment during the course of a football game. Sometimes it's in the second quarter. Sometimes it's in the third quarter. Most often it's towards the end of the game when it's a very critical moment in the game. Everybody there knows. Everybody watching the game knows, man, this is it. The game is on the line. This is the play. Right here it is. And I used to call timeout when we reach some of those moments. Call timeout. And I'd gather all the guys together, and I would tell them, so this is it, man. Game's on the line right here. And I would go over every one of their responsibilities. Defensive lineman, make sure you root, hog, and die, man. Stay low, drive your feet. Linebackers, read your keys, step up. Don't get sealed down inside. Outside linebackers, come hard off the ball. Contain that thing. Contain rush. Everybody, safeties, read your key. Don't let the guy get behind. I'd lay it all out there to him, and then I'd say this. Everybody, put their hands in there. Everybody get their hands in there. I'd say, okay, and I'd look around the crowd, and I'd say, okay, listen. Somebody make a play. Because it don't matter how many tools you have, if you are not positioned and primed and ready to be imminent in making that play, it ain't going to get done. Hey, boys, somebody make a play. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Amen.